You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Maybe some hummus?
Launchpad, are you okay?
Yep. Wait, I seem to be stuck in a giant world of nightmare horrors. Hey, there's Gyra and a bunch of guys. Ooh, a giant spider!
Louie, I know this is our night off, but we gotta do something.
Why? Gyro's a genius and Launchpad has crashed so many times, I'm convinced he may be immortal.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 2, Episode 1, The Most Dangerous Game Night. I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And we're back. We're back from our summer of adventures.
yeah, really. Season 2. We made it to Season 2.
Man, I'll tell you, I could have used a bit of a longer break. Star Wars Resistance, Arrow, and DuckTales all came back within 2 weeks of each other.
So you went from no podcasts to all of your podcasts.
To all of the podcasts. So I'll tell you what my Monday nights look like. I get home from work. I record Rebel Cells with Matt, and we talk about Star Wars. And then I have to make dinner. And then if I'm lucky, I can watch Arrow. But if the kid's awake, I can't. And then I record Cartoon Afternoon with you, Curtis.
Wow.
And then if I haven't watched Arrow, which I haven't tonight, I then have to go watch Arrow.
Is Arrow, Arrow's on Monday nights now?
Arrow's on Monday nights now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but the idea was get everything out of the way on Monday, record Quiver on Wednesday, and it's just 2 days. I don't want to be doing stuff every night of the week. So,
right.
Anyways, all that to say, this could have waited another maybe 2 or 3 weeks for me in order to get back in the groove of things, but it's okay. You know, if you're gonna do it, just rip the Band-Aid off, right?
Well, like, I think that most of the people listening here probably don't share your sentiment. I'm thinking that most of the people here are happy that there wasn't long to wait before the second season.
Well, I'll say, okay, so what I will say to counter everything that I just said, of all three of those season premieres that I just talked about, one of which is a Star Wars series premiere, the whole reason I podcast in the first place, DuckTales was far and away the best, not even a competition. This episode was fantastic.
This was a good episode, yeah.
Yeah.
But before we jump into that, let's just go for some news here. So we might as well talk about the new episode descriptions for the next few episodes. Because we haven't been podcasting over these last 2 weeks, so the episode descriptions for the next few episodes have been out for some time, but we haven't been able to talk about them. In fact, you and I just haven't even talked about them even off the podcast at all. So here they are. Next week is The Depths of Cousin Feathery, which I'm really excited about because I love this character, a feathery duck that appears in like European Donald Duck and Uncle Scrooge comics and doesn't really show up on this side of the pond very often. So the fact that he's in this show is awesome. The description is Huey and Dewey are led on an adventure by their distant Uncle Feathery, who takes them to the depths of Scrooge's deep sea laboratory. And get this, Tom Kenny of SpongeBob SquarePants is going to be Uncle Feathery. Feathery Duck.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And then the week after that, The Ballad of Duke Baloney. After his disappearance, Glomgold resurfaces as anything but his ever-scheming self, while Webby and Louie try to uncover the truth behind who is Duke Baloney. I don't know what that means, but it's got Glomgold in it, so it's going to be good. And then the following 2 weeks, we only have episode titles at this point. On November the 10th is The Town Where Everyone Was Nice. And then on November the 17th, Storkules in Duckburg.
Awesome. So Storkules coming back is very exciting.
Yes.
I like that.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to double check this. Are you sure that we don't have titles for or descriptions for these?
Yeah, if you want to check, you can go right ahead, but I couldn't find any descriptions. I just came across the episode titles. The only two that are up on ABC's press site are this episode and next week episodes. They didn't even have The Ballad of Duke Baloney.
I have descriptions here, and I think I might even have two more episodes.
Oh man, lay them on me.
Here you go. The Town Where Everyone Was Nice. Donald reunites with his band, the Three Caballeros.
Oh, yes.
While the family takes in the sights of a Brazilian town with a dark secret. Three Caballeros coming in on that one. And then let me just scroll down here to the next episode. I'm just looking at the press release here. Storkules in Duckburg. Louis recruits Storkules for his professional monster extermination business, while Storkules faces his greatest challenge, being Donald's roommate. And then let me see. I think I have a couple more. I think I have at least one more episode here.
I hope it has Beagle Boys in it.
Puppy Dog Pals. Nope, that's not what we're here to talk about. Nope, that might be it.
Okay.
I think that's it.
But that's, yeah,
unless you guys want to hear about Mickey and the Roadster Racers or Muppet Babies.
Yeah, we'll save that for a different podcast.
This Muppet Babies one I will read. A Very Muppet Babies Christmas / Summer Super Fabulous Holiday Surprise.
Okay.
Which airs on, what day is that? Friday, November 30th. That's exciting. I'm excited by that. It's not really what we're here to talk about, but that's all right.
That's okay. Well,
that's really great.
It looks like it's going to be a solid start to the season. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited about that Storkules one. Storkules was probably one of my favorite new characters. Like not a classic character reimagined, but like a completely new character.
Mm-hmm.
That episode is sort of, to me, otherwise, it's kind of like it's a fine episode, but Storkules brings it up.
He sure does.
The Storkules and Donald thing is just so good. So I'm excited to see more of that.
Wow. So we have some other news, and it is about new Disney Afternoon figures from Funko.
Yes.
Wow. This was a surprise. Kind of out of the blue, they just kind of released this news that Wave 2 is coming. And it's a great wave. There's four.
It's fantastic.
There's four figures.
Yeah.
One DuckTales figure. It's going to be Gizmo Duck, which everybody scream. It's going to be the best thing ever. We have an actual Gizmo Duck action figure. There's one Tailspin figure. That's Louie, King Louie. And then we have Gadget from the Rescue Rangers, and a Darkwing Duck figure, which is Launchpad. And so if you're a fan of, if you like only wanted Darkwing Duck figures, or you only wanted DuckTales figures, well, you kind of actually get two figures in this wave because they both share the same shows.
Which is fantastic. So I'll definitely be picking up Launchpad as well as Gizmo Duck, and I know that a lot of other people are going to be picking up those other two as well. This is really cool. I'm glad that Funko is continuing this line. The Darkwing figure was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great figure. And I know I've heard good things from other people who've picked up, like the Chip and Dale. And yep. and Scrooge. So yep.
they're all really great. They are quality made. Yeah. The paint's great. The posability. I mean, they're limited in the way they pose, but they still look really good when you can move yep. around. And I wasn't sure if they were going to have a second wave because they didn't call the first wave Wave One.
Yeah.
So this is fantastic. Who do you want to see in Wave Three?
Ooh. You know, we talked about this a little bit on Facebook with some of the listeners, and I agree with you what you said there, which is that I would love to see Wave Three be a villains pack.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to see I'd love to see Megavolt or Quackerjack as the Darkwing villain, preferably Megavolt. I mean, like, that's kind of the one. I feel like Megavolt's one of his best villains. I would love to see a Beagle Boy, mm-hmm. and although the Beagle Boy, it's hard because it's like you can't just have one Beagle Boy.
No, you'd have to have a whole wave of Beagle Boys.
Yeah. I would
Don Carnage.
Shere Khan.
Yeah,
I prefer Shere Khan.
I mean, I have a Don Carnage action figure already from when they had Tailspin action figures from the 90s. So I'd love to get Shere Khan instead. And then someone from Chip and Dale, because all of those characters are underrated. Fat Cat, I think, would be perfect.
I mean, yeah, you have to do Fat Cat, right?
Yeah.
It's really, it is a thing where, like, they really can't go wrong. they can't make a mistake with this. It's like, just put out anything Disney Afternoon and we'll be pretty happy. A lot of people will be pretty happy because even when these shows were on, they didn't really get action figures. Or if they did, I mean, like, the Darkwing Duck action figures were not easy to come by here in Canada, even when they were brand new.
There were two waves of those, and there was a third wave that was proposed with, like, the Liquidator and stuff, but that one got canceled. They had even advertisements for it, but those figures never made it.
Yeah.
I will say, though, if Wave 3 isn't villains, and if there is only going to be one more wave, I really want them. They have to do Monty to round out the Rescue Rangers. I would love to see Kit Cloud Kicker, so then we get kind of the trio of heroes in that show. Goslin, of course, so then we get the trio of heroes from Darkwing, and then we'd have to get some nephews of some sort, and they don't, if Chip and Dale wasn't released in two-pack, they're not going to put all three nephews together, so I don't know how they handle that, but...
I think what they can do with the nephews, because it's only one mold, right? It's you just do one figure, and then you just do
color
the
variants.
Three colors.
Yeah.
Funko loves exclusives.
True.
So I could totally see them doing retailer exclusives for two out of the three nephews. So, like, go to your local comic shop and get Huey. Go to Hot Topic and get Dewey. And go to GameStop and get Louie.
Yeah.
Right? And that way they can make sure that everybody can get all three of the nephews.
Right.
Yep,
that would work.
That could be a really great way to do that.
Cool.
That's free advice there, Funko. You can use that if you want. If you do that, if you start doing repaints, then you got to put out a Negaduck repaint as well. That's my caveat.
Yeah, well, I mean, they did the Negatron repaint.
Yeah.
But that's not the same thing.
Yeah.
So
no, it's not the same as Negaduck.
I'm currently visiting some family in the United States.
Yep.
And I don't get to go down to the United States very often, so I went to Target today. And I bought some DuckTales action figures from the new series, the ones from Fat Mojo. And I have to be honest, these figures are not very good. I feel like they're kind of cheap. The paint job is very sloppy. The pieces, like Launchpad's head, feels like he's going to pop right off. None of the accessories fit on the people. Like, Webby comes with her 3D goggles. They don't fit on her head. All of their hands are molded so small that they can't hold any of the accessories. Louie has a can of Coke. He can't hold it. Launchpad has binoculars. He can only hold the binoculars in one hand, even though both hands are molded to the binoculars shape. But you can't bend his arms in a way that he can actually hold his binoculars properly. Like, it's things like that. They're not great. They feel cheap. The Funko ones are 100 times better.
Well, then I'm glad that the Funko stuff is out there. And also, if you want a good set of figures from the new DuckTales, I suggest going to a Disney store or going to Shop Disney and getting the figurine set there. They are not posable. They're just solid little kind of mini statues. But the sculpts are fantastic. The paint jobs are fantastic. And for little kids, like if you're looking for a toy for young kids to play with, I mean, like their imaginations fill in the gaps anyways. They don't need them to be posable. That's really more of an older collector thing.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like I would rather have a nice sculpt than posability.
Yep, for sure. Well, and the sculpts...
And those ones are great.
The sculpts are okay in these new series as well. In the Fett Mojo figures, like they're not bad. They look pretty good. Glaumgold's, I think, looks the best. I didn't get Scrooge or Donald, but I got all the rest of them. And the funny thing is, all of them can sit. So, like, they have hip joints, so you can have all your characters sit. And Webby can sit too, except her skirt is hard plastic, so her feet, even though they bend, you can't make her sit down. It's like they should have used a moldable plastic on. For her skirt or something. I don't know.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, I'd be happy if they have a second set of these new DuckTales action figures as well, even though they're not the greatest, just so we can get a new Gizmo Duck design action figure, because his new design is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I we need some merch with that new Gizmo Duck design. Put it out alongside the new Darkwing, and I'll be happy. Then you don't have to make anything else. That's it.
There you go. Shall we dive into our episode now?
Yeah, let's jump in. Here, I'll start us off.
Sure.
A game night is anything but relaxing as the family faces shrink rays, a barbaric civilization, and an unhealthy level of competitiveness. So the original air date for this episode was October 20th, 2018. Writer Francisco Angonez and director Tanner Johnson. So written by showrunner Frank Angonez himself.
Yep.
Yeah, and you can kind of tell because this one's a little bit of a love letter to season one, which I think is so funny that like it's like Community did this as well in the second season. I think they did a clip show episode that was comprised of clips from episodes that don't exist, and this episode kind of shares a little bit of that same sort of snarkiness of like. Yeah, okay, so we saw all the adventures from season one, but clearly all summer they've been adventuring.
Yeah, I love that.
And Louis is just sick of it. He's just so done with all the adventures. Because it's like we come back and it very much has that feel of coming back for another season. And everybody has gone through some experiences and grown and sort of leveled up from the last time that we saw them. But Louis is the only one that's kind of not really feeling it anymore, and it's so funny because it is such a great way to talk about the ridiculousness of it and all of that stuff. But then by the end of the episode, it actually ends up having a real heart to it, just like all these DuckTales episodes, right? I mean, we always come back to this. That's sort of the key. To a good DuckTales episode is that you go on your zany adventure, but at the core, there's a good moral lesson or there's just a good heart to why you're telling the story.
Right.
And they nail that along with everything else great that they do in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this. It was such a good, it was a good way to ease us back into things as well, because we had a great teaser with the adventure, but this one was, it was getting, like you said, everyone's grown over the summertime here. So let's get to know where they're at. And so by bringing it back into the mansion and having the game night as the, I don't know, the plot device to to carry this episode, we get to discover where everybody's at. And one of my favorite moments in this episode was just the fact that each nephew, I know this episode focused on Louis, but each nephew has a breakdown about their own self-worth or their own abilities. And so like Dewey and Webby question their partnership because they keep losing the board games. Huey has this breakdown about his merit badges with the Junior Woodchucks. And Louis, of course, doesn't know his place within the context of the family, mm-hmm. The adventuring family. So I love that that we can have all of these ongoing stories, and it didn't feel cluttered. It was well-paced, and everybody was in this episode. Like, the entire cast, including Duckworth,
yeah.
was in this one episode, which is very rare for the show. You can tell that it either... you know, this is the season premiere, or they have a bigger budget for this season or something like that, because they had everyone, which was fantastic to see.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the only characters that weren't in this were like regular recurring characters would be Gizmo Duck and Glomgold. Other than that, it was
none of the villains,
all of our
there.
Heroes.
The Beagle Sorry? Boys, Beagle Boys, and Mark Beeks. None of the villains were sure, in yeah. this yeah. episode, but Gyro was there. But I guess Fenton was not there. But they seem to use him pretty sparingly, anyway.
Yeah, Gizmo Duck's that character that you gotta. It has to be special when Gizmo Duck shows up,
right?
So, yeah. Do you want to get into our top moments?
Well, I already said one of mine. So why don't you say one of yours here?
Yeah. So I really, really enjoyed the beginning, as I know a lot of you guys did. The can we just wrap up the woe and get to the wait, what already?
Yeah.
And then Scrooge is like, what are you talking about? What is it? And he's like, and Louis summarizes every episode, which is, you know, we go in and it's something amazing and everybody's all like, whoa. And then, you know, there's always the twist with the wait, what? And then we run for our lives and Louis almost dies with that. Right. And then Scrooge is like, no, that's ridiculous. But then Dewey literally does that, like and Louis just kind of counting it off, and it's perfect.
Yeah. What was great about that scene is that we think it's just kind of a throwaway gag for the opening teaser before the theme song, but the whole episode, Scrooge brings that moment back at the end of the episode to bring the whole thing full circle. It's a great bookend using that gag, the whoa, wait, what gag from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, and it's a confirmation for us that wait, what is a running gag in the series. It's in every single episode.
Yeah, and they used it several times in this one episode.
Yeah, so I love it because it's sort of an acknowledgement that this is part of their show bible, right?
Yep.
That every episode has a wait, what.
Yep.
And it's not just that a character says wait, what, but you have to have that moment, mm-hmm. right? Where mm-hmm. it's like, wait, what? What is happening? And the best part of this is that wait, what has made its way into my everyday vernacular, and I do it all the time now.
Great. That's awesome.
And nobody knows what I'm doing. Like I use a lot of Star Wars quotes. I use a lot of movie quotes in general, but people tend to catch those.
Yeah.
But with wait, what? No, it goes under the radar, and that's, I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's not exclusive to this show. Because I know that Anna says it in Frozen, because I watch that a million times a day because my daughter loves it.
Yeah.
She says, wait, what, a few times through that movie. So maybe it's a Disney thing. I don't know.
I've caught it in some other stuff as well, and I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything specific right now, but I have caught it in a few other shows as well.
Yeah.
And it's every time it happens, it's like, it's funny.
It is.
But yeah, just the fact that Louis is just so done with all this nonsense. It's like, I get it. It's fun to watch as a TV show, but can you imagine living this life with all these ridiculous characters and being Louis, who just wants to sit and drink a can of Pep And not even the whole can, just the peak carbonation peak in those carbonation. First two sips.
Yeah, and yeah. You can get this frustration because as soon as they walk in the door with their feet all muddy, Scrooge finds a treasure map in that thing they just found, and they're off again.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's so well conveyed that that's the thing, and it's such a far cry from what we see in Louis in the other season because he was collecting the treasures, which we saw in the season finale because he was giving them all away. But he was collecting these things from their adventures, and really liked it because of the treasure portion of it. But you know, there's more to life than treasure apparently, and Louis finds that out here.
Yeah, well, and importantly, like the events of last season have had a lasting effect on our characters, right?
Yeah.
So this is our first implication that Della's story is going to affect the world around our characters, and it's really deeply affected Louis, and so it's not inconsistent, it's not a throwaway, this is character development, and I really love that.
Yeah. Okay, so my second moment that I loved here is there's a lot of great humor in this. And this miniature civilization that lives in the mansion. I loved it when they were creating. Gyro says, we've accidentally destroyed all of their civilizations. Laundry Basket City, Top Hattistan, the floating island of Toiletopolis. I laughed out loud at that one. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Donald just coming out, and they're like, "Oh, ew."
Yeah. There's a lot of really great laugh out loud moments in this episode. Too many for us to cover.
Yeah,
we'd be here all night. But that this was a good one. Like it was a very funny like sort of running gag, and then later in the episode when we see Scroogeopoly.
Yes, that was good.
I instantly clocked that and went, that's how they're going to solve this problem. He puts down the little money bin, and I was like, there you go. That's a solution. But yeah, I love it. It's funny, though, because there's a show on Netflix called Hilda.
Oh, that's such a good show.
It's phenomenal.
It's fantastic. The graphic novels that it's based on are so good.
Yeah, the setup for the show is very similar to this idea.
Yeah.
But it's just coincidence, right? But so good. And this kind of segues into one of my favorite moments, which is a bit of a running gag, which is Launchpad's phone calls.
Yeah.
Once Gyro is shrunk down and obviously screws everything up, and then Launchpad ends up getting accidentally shrunk down as well. And Launchpad's just happy-go-lucky, dim-witted, nonchalance about everything, where he's like, oh, wow, there's a bunch of little people. Oh, and it's Gyro, and he seems to be leading them. They're coming towards me. Oh, a giant spider. You're like, these are terrifying things.
Yeah.
These are terrifying things, Launchpad. But he's too Launchpad to be afraid.
I loved it. They decided to climb the Tower of Infinity in the TV room.
Yeah.
So good.
It's good. So those phone calls, and as they recur, they kind of just keep getting better and better.
It was
I love that his phone works.
Yeah.
And that he calls them.
It was a brilliant storytelling device to let us know what was going on in this miniature world without spoiling the big reveal of the miniature world when we get to it when everybody gets shrunk.
Yeah. The other great thing about it is that it implies story without having to animate the story.
Right.
And that to me is just such genius writing for animation. And especially like if you're gonna do it with two characters, these are the two best characters to pick on the show.
Oh yeah.
To first use Gyro, who Jim Rash just does such a phenomenal job. Jim Rash is also on Star Wars Resistance, and his character is like a polar opposite to Gyro.
Oh, awesome.
And I love it because Bobby Moynihan, who does Louis and Jim Rash, who does Gyro. They do these characters, Flix and Orca. And Flix is Jim Rash's character, and he's very sort of soft spoken and kind of he's very understanding and sort of like empathetic or empathic, I should say, and that sort of thing. And then you've got Gyro, who's a megalomaniac and just completely, I mean, like, earning the name Gearloose, right? So because he is definitely a little bit nuts, because his immediate response is to conquer these people.
Yeah.
It's so like, funny. What are you doing? And he always screws it up. The other thing that I love about this storyline is the shrinking ray that's attached to the microphone it's a light bulb, because everything that Gyro builds has a light bulb in it. It's always bulb tech.
I did not clue that. And it always goes evil, or something always happens to make it go
something
wrong.
Always happens that goes wrong. And so at some point Gyro's got to realize that the reason why all of his inventions go evil is because, like, particularly the robots, is that they are his progeny. He's creating them, and he's an evil genius.
Yes.
So he's putting too much of himself in it. That's why the Gizmo Duck suit works, because it's
Gyro's
Fenton.
Not in control. Yeah.
And Gyro's not in control. Fenton is the X factor there that makes the Gizmo Duck suit heroic as opposed to evil. What's your next one?
Okay, loved the charades. The whole charades game was great, and I especially loved Dewey and Webby's one where Dewey gets hung up on smoothies the whole time. Prune smoothies. But Uncle Scrooge doesn't even like smoothies. But
it's good. It's so realistic. Like, that's when somebody sucks at charades. Yes. That's exactly why. That's because they seize on one thing, and
they
you're
can't,
like, oh,
yeah, they can't break
no.
from it.
Yeah. And that's all they think about.
Yeah. And Scrooge being so shrewd in how he plays, that he purposely picks Donald Duck, because Donald's any good at charades, but because Uncle Scrooge knows Donald so well that he can read whatever nonverbal communication he's doing.
Well, I love that, because it's like, Webby says, well, after 30 years adventuring together with Donald, you pick up a lot about nonverbal communication, considering no one understands what Donald is saying. So, it's a very nuanced joke. I really liked that. That was one of the laugh out loud moments.
But my favorite moment, and everybody's latched onto this moment too, because there are already so many viral memes and GIFs all about this, is the Mermanticore scene. between Uncle Scrooge and Donald. That's not a Mermanticore. You call that a Mermanticore? Then they start flopping around and whatever. It was so funny. The way they animated it, the way it was just over the top. I laughed out loud. My kids loved it. It was so funny. And obviously, everybody loved that too, because it's just, that is the scene that has been picked out of this episode that everybody's making new little memes about. It's wonderful.
Well, the animation in this episode was top notch.
Oh,
they
had
some really great moments all throughout it. Really great character moments and stuff like that. And we've talked about this before, but the fact that they're not afraid to go off model and do something.
Well, that was the Mermanticore scene right there.
Exactly.
The animation, I feel like, they stepped up the budget or something like that, because there was just more of that in general, of the going off model or more crazy expressions. And I especially loved in the opening sequence when they're seeking this treasure, and nobody said any lines of dialogue. It was all conveyed through hand gestures, body language, facial expressions, and a few grunts and stuff like that. And there were a couple lines like Dewey and Webby sing their song as they're flipping through the air, and Huey says what the path is to get through the flying darts, but there was no other dialogue through that, and I thought it was very, very effective.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just a stellar episode, top to bottom, with the animation for sure. Cool. My last thing that I just want to note is a scene earlier in the episode when Louis is kind of saying to Scrooge, like, we need to take a break. Like, everybody's kind of burnt out or whatever. And they're going through it, and he goes to name them, and it's very clear that Scrooge still doesn't know Dewey's name. And Dewey kind of looks at him, and it's so funny, especially because of some of the moments from last season. In particular, I can't remember the name of the episode right now. The second to last episode of the season.
The last crash of the Sun Chaser.
Yeah, and all of the stuff between Scrooge and Dewey there, which was such it was like the journey from the Atlantis episode where he's like the blue one,
yeah,
right, and then to the end of it where it's like, you know, they all care about each other and stuff.
But it's a good ongoing gag.
Yeah, but it's kind of, you can kind of tell that Scrooge is just doing this to mess with Dewey. but I just thought that was such a good gag and such a good callback to the series premiere. Well, I mean, it was technically not the first episode, but sort of in that zone, right?
Yeah.
It's such a good callback to early on in season one. I really liked it, and I just love that animation again. The Dewey,
oh, yes,
the look on his face, the look of sheer disappointment.
I really like Arrested Development. I think those first three seasons of that show are some of the best comedy out there. And the one of the things that's great about it is that throughout the entire three seasons, they constantly are establishing new running gags. So by the time you get to the last episode of the third season, it's like the whole episode is just filled with running gags that have compounded upon each other from the all of these episodes in the season. And I feel like DuckTales is going down that route as well, because we are getting these now ongoing. Every couple of episodes, we have a new joke that seems to permeate through the other episodes going forward.
Yeah, and one of the great things about Arrested Development was their ability to call back to previous episodes and make it seem like a one-off joke from the first season was actually a setup for a payoff in the third season.
Yes, it was.
Which, so like, good. They couldn't have known. Like, they didn't know because they only barely even got three seasons and then a fourth and a fifth. But
we won't talk about those seasons.
Yeah. But they do, it's fantastic the way that they were able to do that. And I agree. I think that even the first half of season one to the second half of season one, there was some elements of that. But obviously in this episode, this whole episode is, like I said, talking about the community thing, this whole episode is callbacks to season one and to this established thing. So it's almost... it's almost like a soft reboot of the show, where it's like, so the first season was all about them figuring out how they could come together as a family, and they kind of get there, and then everything falls apart because of the Della stuff, and then they come back together at the end. So now this season is all about the fact that, well, now it's a well-oiled adventure machine. So, you know, we're going to deal with the Dewey stuff, or sorry, with the Louis stuff this episode, but I'm curious to see what's going to happen in subsequent episodes, that, because they're going to have to, now that everybody has a good dynamic together, now we have to figure out how do we challenge them even more? How do we up the stakes?
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they build on top of that while calling back constantly to season one, which they will. Storkiles coming back is a great example. It's like, well, let's bring that character back. Let's, you know, do stuff like this that are going to be great callbacks.
Well, you've heard our top three moments. Why don't we hear some of your favorite moments? And we asked the question, what are your favorite moments from this episode? And we got a bunch of responses. So you want to read some of them?
Yeah, over on Instagram, which you can follow us on Instagram, DDTuneAfternoon, Wilbury Girl responded to the question of what was your favorite part of the DuckTales season 2 premiere? The part when Donald learned he's in the will.
Yeah,
that was a laugh out loud moment for sure. For sure. I laughed real hard. Kara was like, whoa, what's your problem? Because that was too funny. When he's like, if we lose, you're out of the will. And Donald's response is just like, I was in the will? It's so good.
Yep.
Because he just expects that Scrooge hates him.
Yep. It's perfect. Over on Facebook, Mike Rousseau says, I loved how they were able to utilize such a large cast without it seeming like overkill, and they're really stepping up their game with the expressions and animation too. And that's exactly what we were saying just a minute ago.
Yeah. Detective Liz over on Twitter, at Tune Afternoon on Twitter, is how you can follow us. Every Donald and Scrooge scene, definitely. Oh, and also Gyro's and LP's scene when he bumped his head in the car when Scrooge was yelling game night like a total weirdo. And Dewey and Huey's facial expressions. And Louie. Ah, heck, I love everything. And I think I have to echo that sentiment. When we do our notes, right, we've talked about this before, we try and go, okay, what are our top three moments, right? And sometimes we go three or four, sometimes five. With this episode, I had to keep it to three, because if I broke that rule, I just would have had like six or seven, because there were so many great moments. Like you said, all the characters are in this episode, yeah. Right? Like all of our main heroes are in this episode.
And which they means all have that a good moment.
They all have, like, we didn't even talk about Duckworth, right?
Yeah, or Beakley. And
yeah, because he's got that great moment where he's like, oh, I'm being called to the astral plane, yeah. Spooky stuff. And it's just
so funny. Yep.
So good. Such great jokes. And then later on in the episode, yeah, when Launchpad gets shrunk and you think Beakley walks in and she looks and everything's all destroyed and you think she's about to flip out on the boys. And instead she goes, oh no, my partner's gone. I guess I can't play games anymore. And she leaves.
Yep, yep. Like, so good.
Yeah, it's so many great moments in the episode. So many.
Yeah, well, we want to thank everybody. We're not going to read everyone's comments here because we got a bunch of them. But
yes.
Yeah, we'll. I think we could probably do this on a regular basis and get your responses in here. Oh, Count Von 320 on Twitter had a bunch of things. I just want to read this person's list here. Duckworth's back. Try saying that three times fast. New updated intro with Magica and Gizmo Duck. Peg Hook painting makes another appearance. Scrooge forgetting Dewey's name again was hilarious. Also the whoa, wait, what? Ah, predictions. Also Huey freaking out over a loose string on his shirt. And also Debigail, don't judge me. So lots of great things. I like that it took three tweets to write out all of those things that were so great about this episode.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it was a... yeah, thank you, everybody, for contributing your feedback for that. Shall we move on to the next segment here?
Yeah, we're going to check out some behind the scenes and references and such.
Yeah, is there anything you want to say? I wrote down a bunch of stuff for this part.
I think we'll start off with the first thing that you've got noted here, which is the new scenes in the theme song. Gizmo Duck and Magica being added in there is pretty great.
It's almost a blink and you miss it kind of moment.
For sure, yeah. But also a very important moment for Gizmo Duck, because he is the noted lasers in race cars, lasers and aeroplanes.
Yeah, I don't even remember what it was in the first season intro, because there was a laser there.
Yeah, there was. I don't remember what it was either. It's just a laser of some kind.
I can't remember.
But I think it might have been a robot. I think it might have been like Lil Bulb or something. But yeah,
much better to have Gizmo in there.
Much better.
Yep. And Magica being in there gives me hope that we will see her again this season.
Yes, for sure. Well, you know, we got to get back to, like, we know that Lena will come back at some point this season, so that's part of the story, and I'm sure that Magica will have something to do with that.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I am at my in-law's place, and so I programmed their TiVo to record this episode. Mm-hmm. And when I went to play it back, it says that this is Season 2, Episode 9.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's a TiVo mistake or if Disney's airing these out of order again. I'm not sure, but we'll just put that in there for whatever it's worth.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the scene where Dewey has... I can't remember who it is. Somebody unshrinks one of the little guys to be the size of the room. He's a giant now.
Yeah.
And Huey goes and ties him up with string. It is definitely a reference to what Mickey does to the giant in the cartoon Brave Little Taylor.
Oh, excellent. Wow, I did not clock that, but now that you bring that up, it's like, yeah, of course that's a reference
to
that.
Yeah, absolutely. Even the way that he ties up the hands and stuff, it's not exactly the same, and of course DuckTales has much more limited animation than Brave Little Taylor, so they couldn't do all the fancy stuff, but there is an absolute reference there, for sure.
That's fantastic. What a great callback. All of those sort of like storybook Mickey Mouse animated stories were so great.
Yeah.
All those. Cool.
Okay, so at the end, Scrooge asks Louis, do you know how I got to be who I am or something like that? And Louis says, yeah, from being tougher than the toughies and smarter than the smarties. And then Scrooge says, also sharper than the Sharpies. People don't know about that one. That is a reference because Sharper Than the Sharpies is a line that's used in the comic books. That one is not used as much as the other one. I think it's just a misquote sometimes when whatever writer accidentally puts Sharper Than the Sharpies instead of Smarter Than the Smarties, but it's there. So I love that Scrooge calls that out. People don't know about that one.
Yeah. It's great because it does kind of embody the three nephews, right? Like Dewey is the tough one. He's kind of the brave devil may care, as Louis points out.
Yeah.
And then Huey is the smart one. He's smarter than the smarties. And Louis, so this was kind of them sharper. Going like,
it's very true.
What is Louis? And Louis is lazy, so he wants to work smarter, not harder. And that's what I relate to in that character. It's why he's my favorite of the three. And so, yeah, for him to be sharper than the Sharpies, it's... but it's also... I really love this moment because this is them sort of saying, you know, others might have more apparent gifts, right?
Yeah.
Dewey and Webby, it's very obvious that they're sort of adventure-y, and for Huey it's the book smarts and stuff. These things are really clear and evident, but being clever isn't always clear. It doesn't always show on the surface, but Scrooge even says like, oh, I should have noticed it when you were talking at the, like when he said, he references back to the beginning of the episode, he's like, You were plotting it. Like, you were seeing the similarities in everything and connecting those dots. And that is, like, if you can do that, then you'll never get sort of, like, caught unawares, right?
Yeah,
like, you'll always be prepared for any situation. And he flips Louis's negative attitude and actually turns it into motivation. And so the end of the episode, when he closes the door and it's Louis Inc. It felt good. Like it was like this triumphant moment for that character where and he gives him the idol and he's like, yeah, it's no number one dime, but it's a start, right?
Yep.
It's such a great triumphant moment for Louis's character to realize like, oh wait, I am special. I am unique and interesting, but most importantly, it's that connection that he was looking for to his mom that Scrooge was able to bring out and go like, your mother was exactly like that. Like she was sharper than the Sharpies too, right? And so that kind of it kind of bolsters Louis in that moment, and allows him to believe in himself again, and that's great. I just thought that was a really great message.
Okay, a couple of other things here. The small launch pad refers to the small microscopic civilization as Gyropudlians.
Yeah,
and that's a
Gyro
reference.
Actually coins that in the beginning of the episode.
Oh, okay.
Early on. Yeah, he says we'll call them Gyropudlians.
Yeah, right.
Because he kind of puts his own name in there.
So that's a reference to Gulliver's Travels, the book.
Yeah.
Because, and if you know that the most famous scene from there is when Gulliver visits a land of tiny people and he falls asleep, and when he wakes up, he's tied up. All the little people tie him up. Yeah. And those people are called Lilliputians. So this is a little shout out to that book there. And then Scroogeopoly. What I love about Scroogeopoly is that the cover, the box art, has Scrooge in this 1930s style, like a 1930s Mickey Mouse kind of style, which is great because Scrooge wasn't created back in the 1930s. So to see him in that style is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And you can thank the pause button. I paused and wrote down as many of the squares on the Scroogeopoly board as I could see. And I'm going to list them all for you right now. This is in no particular order because based on the scene, depending on which scene, some of the squares were actually in different orders. So we have Tula Bug Square, the Billionaires Club, Kill Motor Hill, How You Do Stan, Dawson Drive, Humperdinck Drive, St. Canard Road, there's one for you, Mike, Number One Dime, Atlantis Lane, Ghost Town Street, Goose Town Street, Bombastium Avenue, Bombastium's the time travel liquid, Yarvard University, Mouston Avenue, McDuck Enterprises, Gold Road, Barks Place, and Fergus McDuck Lane. And then there's two railroads that I could see as well, Coote Station and Gertrude Gadwell Station. And I don't know, some of those are references to DuckTales. Others might be, I'm not sure. Of course, Barks is Carl Barks. Fergus McDuck is Scrooge's grandfather. And they visited Atlantis. We've seen them in the Billionaires Club. St. Canard is a Darkwing Duck's hometown. Bombastium already mentioned. There's a bunch of references in there. So that was
pretty cool.
Mouston
stands out for me. Mouston is interesting because that implies a pretty important character.
That's true. So. Yeah, we haven't had a Mickey Mouse reference, have we?
No. But in the larger Disney Afternoon universe going back, right, Goof Troop is loosely associated with a Goofy movie, and Mickey and Donald appear in a Goofy movie, and it's also referenced that Donald and Goofy are friends, because Goofy says, "Oh, I'm going on a road trip with my best friend," and Max is like, "Oh, Donald Duck."
Yeah, right. So, yeah.
So, that very loosely in the 90s sense of things connects those characters. But we haven't gotten a connection in the newer stuff, but
yeah,
I'm still holding out for Super Goof.
That would be great. Yep.
Crystal Carr and I went to Disneyland, over the hiatus.
Yeah.
Actually not that long ago, a couple weeks ago. And, we were there for Halloween time. And I saw a Goofy walk around character that I've never seen before. I've never seen it in pictures or anything. And he was actually dressed as a new version of Super Goof. Now, I'm not.
You're
this
kidding.
Isn't like a conspiracy theory of any kind. I don't think that this has anything to do with DuckTales. But he was, because they at Halloween time they dress up. The characters dress up in their own Halloween costumes. And most of the Halloween costumes tend to be spooky, like a skeleton or a wizard or witch or ghost or whatever. But this one thing, Goofy was dressed up as Super Goof, and Chip and Dale were dressed up in something else. I can't remember what it was. I don't think that they were superheroes, but it was something else. And I thought that was really cool. It was a cool take on the super goof idea, but much more modern.
But it was identifiably super goof, like you could tell. It had the
he had a cape and he had the big G on his chest.
Okay.
So yeah, it was super goof esque.
Okay.
It was not like it wasn't the big, you know, red long underwear with the G and the blue cape, but yeah. It was definitely super goof esque.
Nice.
I wouldn't expect it to be considered anything else.
Okay. Wonderful.
Just something to look out for if you're there this month during Halloween time.
Good.
Time's running out. It's almost Christmas, according to Disney, at least.
Well, we are back with the Junior Woodchuck podcast, and we will now tune in to hear what Peter and Milo thought of this premiere.
Hello, this is the Junior Woodchuck podcast. My name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
And today we will be talking about the most dangerous game night. Milo, what was the weirdest part in the episode?
I don't know.
I'd say when Louie's like, can we just stay home for a day? I hate adventures. How about we do movie night or maybe even game night? Then Uncle Scrooge is like, game night? And then he shouts, game night! Game night! Game night! It's really weird. Milo, what is the funniest part?
When Launchpad goes like, ooh, when he gets shrinked by Gyro's shrinking ray, and he sees a spider and he's like, ooh, a spider.
Actually, he's like, ooh, giant spider.
Peter, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part is when I'd say when, actually, don't know.
My favorite part was...
Wait. Favorite part. Okay. Never mind.
My favorite part was when Louie was slamming Gyro between the doors. That was funny.
What was the board game that was familiar to a real board game?
Scroogenopoly.
Yeah, it's pretty much based on
Monopoly.
I don't care. Milo, what was the funniest board game? Charades. That's what I'd say.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, true.
We are signing off. So, this is it for today.
Bye-bye.
And this is Season 2, Episode 1.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, Mike, let's talk about our lucky dime rating.
Yes.
I think that I'm going to have to give this one a straight... This is going to be... I don't know if this is a shock or whatever, but this is a 5 out of 5 for me. It fired on all signals. It had great heartfelt moments. It was hilarious. Every character was there. Except for Gizmo Duck, but I mean, the whole main cast was there. And it was just a fantastic episode from start to finish. Quality animation, yep. Great music. Oh, there's one thing I forgot to mention. The scene at the very beginning when Scrooge picks up, like he's about to pick up the idol and the music swells. I swear that is a cue from the original DuckTales score. You'll have to listen back to it. But it's kind of, it goes like a da 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 da, kind of that kind of sound.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
That's not typical of this show's score. And I'm like, that sounds so familiar. I need to go back to the old DuckTales one episodes and take a listen to see if I can hear that.
Not to mention the fact that it kind of goes without saying that whole opening sequence is a reference to Indiana Jones.
Oh, for sure. Yes, yes.
It's all like that. The whole sequence is straight out of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So,
which DuckTales, the TV show, gets a lot of its inspiration from. So everything is full circle here.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. There's no Gizmo Duck. There's no Darkwing Duck. So I feel like I have to dock this episode some marks.
Oh, you're kidding.
That being said, this is a 5 out of 5 for me too.
Oh,
this is a full 50 cents for me. So this, this episode's worth the full dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is exactly what I want from a season premiere of a show. To me, the purpose of a season premiere is to make you, remember why you missed the show while it wasn't on.
Yeah.
And as much as I needed a longer break from this show so that I could get the other podcasts up and running too, I am so glad that DuckTales is back. I'm so glad it's back. I can't wait for more episodes. And like I said, of the three shows that I talk about on a weekly basis on the internet, this was far and away the best.
Nice.
Just like by light years, the best. I laughed. It was, like you said, it was heartfelt. It had a great morality to it. It's continuing the story from last season. It was a solid, perfect episode of DuckTales. So much fun. I'm super excited for what this means for the rest of the season. Because season one was phenomenal. And every time I get an opportunity to tell people about this show, it's like, look, I don't care if you don't necessarily like cartoons. If you have any, you know, nostalgic feelings for DuckTales, watch the show because you'll end up loving it.
Yep.
And this season premiere is just everything that was great about season one and cranked up to 11. And it just bodes so well for moving forward. Like they've learned lessons from what they did in season one, and they're going to build on it this season. So I'm really excited for what's coming next.
The only question I have is, how does this episode stack up against the previous, like the last few episodes of season two? Because according to our ranking on Twitter, the last four episodes of season one were people's favorite episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know if does this come higher than Last Crash of the Sun Chaser or Shadow War? I don't know. Like we're going to have to find out. So the Twitter poll is already running on Twitter. So head over there and check it out and cast your vote on which episode you think is the best DuckTales episode so far. So we haven't talked about the season finale results of last season. So I'm going to quickly list them off here for you. Shadow War, of course, took the cake with 59% of the votes. Last Crash of the Sun Chaser took 25% of the votes. And the other Bin of Scrooge McDuck and The Secrets of Castle McDuck tied for last place with both 8% of the votes. And what we do with a tie is we take the one who had the lowest number of votes the previous week, which was the other Bin of Scrooge McDuck. So that one is out. And our new poll is Secrets of Castle McDuck, Last Crash of the Sun Chaser, Shadow War, and now this one, The Most Dangerous Game Night.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where this ranks and to hear what everybody else thought. I mean, the general consensus from the feedback that we got online was that people loved this episode.
Yeah.
And they loved everything about it, same as us. So it'll be interesting to see, because Shadow War is going to be hard to beat.
Yeah.
Shadow War had some really great stuff in it.
It'll be interesting to see if any of the season one episodes carry through season two.
Yeah.
Wow. There we go.
Cool. Well, that does it for this one, right? But we'll be back next week for The Depths of Cousin Feathery.
Yep, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, so thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one.
Yeah, we'll see you next afternoon.
Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KurtisFindlay.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com. to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.